Boss T, let's get it. Have you ever been hungry and can't eat? Have you ever been thirsty and can't drink? Have you ever been tired and can't sleep? What would you do if you knew you were all three? I've been down and out when nobody cares. Rain falls down, you ain't got no choice but wet. Cause it's a hard life, it's alright, gotta get back up somehow, don't count me out. Hard life, it's alright, gotta get back up somehow, don't count me out. Hard life, it's alright, nigga, get back up, you gotta fight. Boss T.
Hey fam, what's up? This is FaZe. First of all, I want to thank the Most High for all he do for us, y'all, knowingly and unknowingly. Second of all, I want to thank Jesus Christ for dying on the cross, bringing us back to the Most High bosom. Thank you, Yahweh, and thank you, Yahweh Shai, for all you do for us, knowingly and unknowingly. I want to thank my interstate and out-of-state people for listening, y'all. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. Hey, y'all, I wanted it to, when I heard this, as I was listening to this and I was analyzing this, y'all, let me go way back before I get up, you know what I'm saying? How was black man and black woman, how was our forefathers? How did our forefathers get to America? And when they got to America, was it good or bad? If it good, what made it good? Was it bad? What made it bad? I never seen no good in captivity, so everything had to be bad, right? And all the Caucasian people conspired together to put our forefathers in captivity and slavery and did what they did to us until right now. And you got a lot of people in the mindset that don't happen, didn't happen, and the way the black man and the true common black man and the true common black woman thinks. See, they don't have that mindset. They don't have the history of what they fought forefathers. This is some of what people don't want their children to hear. So they grow up not hearing the truth about what really their people is. And white people, Caucasian people, and non-pigmentation people is so much in a delusional state that they don't even realize they're in a delusional state.
So what you talking about, Faye? There you go. There you go. What you talking about, Faye? You running on.
All right, Grump Man. Just chill out for a minute, Grump Man. Let me handle this. I want y'all to listen to this content right here. And I want you to listen real good and see the mindset. See the mindset of what's really going on in the mainstream Caucasian man mind. The people who got money and never seen a roach or never seen a bank account.
I grew up in a world where overt expressions of that were not acceptable. You weren't allowed to generalize on the basis of race because the assumption was each person is an individual. I don't understand when it became okay to generalize about racial groups.
I think while some people have the luxury to be raised only being told to look at individual people, it should be no surprise to you that black people, in particular black men, have been taught forever that they have to be careful how they behave around white people, that the way they behave will be interpreted differently, that when they misbehave, it'll be punished differently, that if they laugh too loud, if they walk into a nice store. So with all due respect, Tucker, what was true for you has never been true for lots of people.
I mean, there are a lot of ways to respond to that. One, on a factual basis, and in truth, in a lot of places in this country, the main threat that African Americans face is not from white people, as you perfectly well know.
So I first want to respond to the first comment. I think is while it's true that, of course, people of color face threats from other people of color, it's also true that white people face the overwhelming threat from white people. That is,
right.
People face threats from who they live beside. So I think it's fair to point out that we oughtn't be too distasteful and say things like, well, the great threat. It does feed a certain uglier narrative that we don't want.
But why does the truth ever feed a, quote, ugly narrative?
It is deeply suspicious that people are so quick to say things like the main threat facing African Americans is other African Americans, but you never hear anybody say the main threat facing white people is white people.
So you say, for example, I will have to discuss with my boys whether they can truly be friends with white people. History has provided little reason for people of color to trust white people.
And the argument I make is, look, in a country where it turns out that when the most vulnerable people of color are under threat, those who they count on are nowhere to be seen. If we have a president who marshals forces of hatred and anger and divisiveness and frankly just danger, if the people who call themselves your friends are not going to push back against that, then maybe you can tell me why it is I should trust those people.
What?
When those who count themselves as your friend see that others put you in danger,
right.
It is their opportunity to prove they're your friend. It's fine to be friendly with them, but these are not your friends. We live in a country where we oughtn't pretend that these divides have not consistently been on racial grounds. And we see that over and over and over.
Danger, that's true.
When black people are in danger from, say, addiction, we get policing. When white people are in danger from addiction, they get rehabilitation. When black people don't have jobs, we get stories about why we're making the wrong choices. When white people don't have jobs, we get a presidential campaign about the...
Didn't want y'all to sleep on this, man. When he said this right here, I don't want y'all to sleep on it. Being friendly and being a friend. And he says something very tight with that, bro. Does the non-pigmentation man and the non-pigmentation woman, do they just friendly, or are they really your friend? Some of us that got true real friends know what a true friend is. You know what I'm saying? If you blessed to have a person that you really call your mighty, that's a blessing. And you know, if you got a friend, got your back just like you got their back, you know how a friend roll. If somebody jump on your friend, you ain't gonna let that go down like that. We already know what friends are and what friends do. True friends. Will a friendly person do that for you? Because yes, most of us get our mindset. See, this blew me away. If you asking me from my point of view of how I analyze this now, because y'all already know my mindset is the Most High said, we got next, y'all, right? So if the Most High said we got next, y'all, and And I'm looking at this big old picture and we're Israel. And that's how it's supposed to be. Israel is supposed to be our land. And they took it in 1940-ish. And the people that call themselves is not for real, is not the true people of that land. And all this in the episode, if you've been with me, see, most of y'all ain't been with me. For the ones that been with me and been listening to me and ride, this big old episode that y'all been ride with me with, you know what I'm saying? You seeing how it's kind of manifesting, right? Because I'm riding, if you riding with me, we riding this same ride together. So we knowing the same thing together. We seeing the same thing together. You may see it in a different lens, but we still seeing the same thing and hearing the same thing together. You may hear it in a different melody, but we still see it the same way. When is friend and friendly? So we take words, you know, we got to build up our IQ, man. You know, I'm going to throw it out there all the time because I care about our IQ. I care about our mindset. If nobody else do, I do. So I'm like, when he said friend and friendly, and I already know the definition of a friend, and I know the definition of friendly. So I already know the history of the non-pigmentation man. So I'm looking at them and say, really, are they our friend or are they friendly? They are friendly enough to do this. But are they a friend? Are they friendly enough to stop their people from continue molesting our people? Any means necessary. I don't think that's friendly. If that is, that's a different type of friendly to me, y'all. So we hear how Tucker Carlson mindset is. And this is what most of the non-pigmentation men and women thinks like. They, in the realm of how they was in this world with the door was closed, right? As the door was closed, the other side of his nation, it was killing and destroying our people and torturing and all this other stuff. So he didn't get to see those doors. All he seen was what his parents want him to see and then got him to be where he at now. And these was most of them don't know no better, but you know, ignorance on you. Every Caucasian man and every non-pigmentation woman knows the history of what their forefathers did to our forefathers. They know this. They want to blanket out their mind. Some of them enjoy it and celebrate to it. And some of them are just in denial. And the ones in denial is someone like Carson Tucker. That's why those type of people don't match up with us. Because if you ain't got no being reasonable and being some sort of having empathy, then why bother? Why bother?
Oh, whoa.
Roll down the window. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Steven.
What's up? I just work right over there. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Is everything all right? We were noticing inside that you guys have been parked here for like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're on our lunch.
Yeah, we worked there.
Oh, where do you work?
Right here.
Where?
Right here.
And who's your supervisor's name?
I don't really know him yet.
When did you guys...
Wait, why are you asking? What?
I was actually worried because I thought maybe your car might be broken down or something because you've been parked here for so long and you haven't really...
Oh, no.
I didn't even notice, really. But one of my customers said that there were two suspicious-looking guys in like a really expensive car, and they don't look suspicious to me.
What are you saying? I
come out here because I was worried.
We park here every day. I pay for my monthly parking for every day.
What do you mean? I haven't seen you. I see everything.
Who's your supervisor?
Well, I'm actually the manager.
Oh, okay.
So it's just that...
Do you, own this parking lot?
What it looks like is that you guys are, casing...
What?
It just looks suspicious.
Oh, can you leave us alone?
I don't think you're doing anything...
Step away from the car, bro.
Is this even your car? I mean, do you have the papers for it and stuff?
Sir,
really expensive. Doesn't seem like you guys can afford it.
I'm about to step up, bro.
What is your issue with this?
It's not my issue.
Don't touch my car.
It's my customers and stuff. I just are just worried because it's very suspicious behavior.
We're chilling. Bro, get your hands out the window.
Bro, don't touch my car.
Okay, well, I'm not.
I'm not gonna tell you again.
Okay, please don't holler.
I'm not gonna tell you again. Don't touch my car.
First of all, you are being very threatening right now. Okay? I do not feel safe right now, okay? And I tried to come over here and be polite and speak to you kindly. And just like you people always do, you get hostile and violent. I'm on my job and I have people coming here talking about the two scary guys in the car. And on my job.
Bro, you sound crazy.
I sound crazy.
You gotta relax.
Me?
What's going on?
I am not going to relax, okay?
This is my question, y'all. Was this non-pigmentation man friendly, or was he just being a friend? It's a different type to being friendly. And you hear the ways of how they be friendly. You know what I'm saying? This is the mindset that they be doing, man.
British people has been expelled from La Guinea-Conakry. The president of Guinea-Conakry, Mamadou Doumbouya, has expelled every British passport holder that are currently in the country. According to report, the British citizens that are currently residing in La Guinea has just 48 hours to evacuate every sector of the country with immediate effect. On Monday, March 4th, 2024, the British Embassy in Conakry, Guinea, issued a joint statement warning every citizen of Great Britain not to travel to Guinea for tourism or for whatever they want to travel for. According to the British Embassy in Conakry, Guinea, they said that Guinea is not safe. They said there is kidnapping and terrorism act in Guinea. So therefore, they are questioning their citizens not to travel to Guinea. When they released the press conference, the president of La Guinea, Mamadou Doumbouya, got pissed off. He said the citizens of Great Britain that are currently in Guinea are expelled with immediate effect. So therefore, they have just 48 hours to leave their country. Currently, as we speak, over 15 pieces of the British Airlines cargoes are currently in Conakry, Guinea, evacuating every British citizens that are residing in Guinea. Because according to the Guinean President Mamadou Doumbouya, he said after 48 hours, the government of Guinea will prosecute every British citizens that will stay in the country. Guys, what are your thoughts? Do you think Mamadou Doumbouya is biting more than what he can chew? Drop a comment.
Wife is white, so she gets your money.
But my kid, but my kids are black, so my kids are still getting the money that you say won't go to the black community.
That is true. That is true. But it goes into a family, into a marriage that you share with a non-African woman. So no matter how you slice the pie, my brother, your paycheck goes to a white female, and that is a form of financial betrayal.
Well, but how's that possible when his kids are black? He just says his kids are also black, so he goes to his children, black people.
Yes, his children are black, but why are we leaving out the white woman who's making the decisions as to how his paycheck will be spent on her? As
that's
well
not
as
true. That, you don't.
So
don't
you're, know you and your wife though. Not sit down and make economic decisions together? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, but you said she's making the decisions. You didn't say
she's making them with you.
Together.
You're making the decisions with your white wife about your finances, correct?
Yes, that's what it
is. And your white wife benefits from your paycheck, no matter how meager it might be, correct?
But my white wife, my Caucasian, my African-American wife, my Asian wife, whoever my wife would be would still benefit because she's my wife. That's what's causing.
Exactly, exactly. And the point we're making is your white wife benefits and not a black woman because you chose to leave the community to find your spouse.
But you're also saying that I am the savior that's going to rescue all black women.
It's not about
paycheck. Savior. I'm not going to rescue Frederick.
This is not about individualism, my brother. I'm not making you a savior, nor am I making you a scapegoat. What I'm saying is that you, myself, the other brother here, and every other black man has an obligation to look out for our sisters and our children. And when little black girls see you walking down the street with your white wife, many of them are going to ask themselves, what is wrong with me that he did not see a black woman as being worthy of his commitment and hand in marriage? That's the question. Interracial marriage is psychologically devastating. Is economically devastating and is politically devastating.
Well, I guess
let's talk about the psychological devastation.
Yeah.
How did it get like this? What do you think?
So let me give a little history lesson. I've talked about this before on the show. Most people are familiar with the fact that in 1804, Haiti declared its independence from its brutal slave owners, France, slave masters. They established the first independent black republic in the history of the world. That was a miracle of miracles, never to be equaled. But for generations, descendants of the enslaved had to pay reparations to their enslavers. That includes France. By accounts, some $500 million was repatriated back to France, money that could have gone to build schools, to build roads, to build infrastructure in Haiti. Also in 1915, the United States invaded the country, saying that it was too poor and too unstable to take care of itself, and walked out of Haiti's National Bank with some $500,000, which they used to establish a company that is now known as Citigroup. A lot of people don't know that history. But we can't talk about that without the deep corruption that has existed in Haiti from its political leaders for many, many, many years. It wasn't always like this. Back in the 1950s and the 1960s, we have some images that show that Haiti was a beautiful country, just like many other islands in the Caribbean, thought to be a playground for the rich and the famous. But that deep culture of corruption that has existed for many of Haiti's leaders has led to the situation that we're seeing right now, in addition to some natural disasters like the earthquake, and of course the assassination of a president. So why should the United States care? Why should people in this country care? First of all, we have a vibrant diaspora in this country that is part of the fabric of American society. Yep. In fact, Haitians fought in the American Revolution to help the United States free itself from its colonial masters. But more importantly, what do we talk about every day on this show and at CBS News? The border, the crisis at the border. There's a deep fear of undocumented immigrants coming to the United States. But rather than addressing it with walls, why don't we address it at the cause, at the root of the issue, which is ensuring that a country like Haiti, which has this rich history tied to the United States, is stable and a vibrant democracy.
But we're looking at these criminal gangs that seem to be having a lot of power. That's what we can't understand in this country.
Right.
How can gangs all of a sudden say we're going to overthrow the government?
So who's in control of the gangs? That's the big question, right? Who's controlling the gangs? A country that doesn't produce weapons all of a sudden has thousands and thousands and thousands of weapons on the ground. Also, real quick point, it's not the entire country that is right? Yeah. We're seeing an image. Yeah. It is Port-au-Prince, the capital, yeah. which was centralized by the Duvalier regime to remove all the other infrastructures that existed across the country. So everything that happens in Haiti happens in Port-au-Prince, but other parts of the country are
still. Okay.
Well, yeah. Glad. But there's a lot to come. Yeah. It's not going to change.
Yeah. And we appreciate.
Now, y'all see this, fam. Now, when I'm letting you look at it, it was three black people and a white man at the table. So they sitting up here having a conversation about this. And if you listen to my podcast and you listen to some of the guys in Haiti letting you know what's going on in Haiti, saying Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton is the one robbing Haiti and doing all the destruction in Haiti. Haiti's got all of them. They got oil and got gold and all this other stuff and rice and all this other stuff that they taking, and they don't want the people to use their resource to build up their land. So why the, you know, America always getting these half-truth Negroes to get on TV and tell these half-lies on here? They only tell what they want y'all to hear, man. That's why I get the common man and common woman out here to listen and tell y'all what's really going on, because La La Land TV Land ain't telling you nothing. La La Land TV Land ain't showing you nothing. All they giving you a bunch of la, 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 la. But some of us just enhance that like it's the truth. Now, why is Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton got their claw in Hades? Do y'all research. Check it out. Because these people that look like us is not us, of us. And they sitting up here on TV projecting like Haiti was this and we got to go help Haiti. And then I already told about Kenya bringing police over there. Of course, if Bill Clinton and them are stealing all these resources from Haiti and these people are mobbing up what they call gang, military up to save and take care of their country. But we as black people already know the crafty council they'll say, but it's not really, oh, that's a gang right there. It's a gang right there, but it's five or six people. They're having a party right there, but it's three people. We know how they use words and build words up to be manipulated. Crafty counseling. That's why we got to realize, fam, things ain't going to right for us. We got to be able to understand. We got to be prepared. And we're going to have to be in that balance of realm with the Most High. We talk that talk. Can we walk that walk when our walk is not in line with the Most High? Because you can go out here in this world and talk all that big talk, because the world already wants you to fall. The world done showed you many avenues to fall in and many ways to fall into. But the Most High put you in here and say, fall into these commandments and you're going to fall into a beautiful thing. But we failed to do that. Our forefathers failed to do that. We so molested in our minds because we allow other nation of people to teach us. We allow other nation of people to show us how to live and how to love and how to do all this. The other nation, the Caucasian man and the Caucasian woman, gave us a manuscript. If you want to be successful in white, you got to be like this. If not, we're going to handle you like this. Hey, what's up? First of all, I just want to say thank you for all the people that's listening and chiming in on me. You didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. So I appreciate you doing that. Hopefully that way, if we can learn how to agree to disagree, and we can live like people. Well, I make the hard topics, I say the hard things, I make the thing itch scratch. So if your itch is not scratching, and you scratching on the itch, maybe you need to look yourself in the mirror. So I'm not here for no drama. I'm not here for no nothing. Just to learn, and edify. This is from learning situations only. So I'm not here to get anybody's hairs up. So again, thank you. And hopefully we can agree to disagree.
I'ma keep it like an island boy. I'ma keep it like an island boy. I'm just trying to make it. And I'm an island boy. I'ma keep it like an island boy. I'm an island boy. I'm just trying to make it. And I'm an island boy. I'ma keep it like an island boy.
These streets keep calling me. They don't want me to leave the life behind. Staring at the stars, wishing I had the time. Well, my kids need food and my girl needs me. Sometimes I dream that I'm finally free. So baby, don't play me, I ain't no toy. I'm a prisoner here, but I still make noise. And I'ma shout that I'm about it with all my voice. I'm a street kid now, but one day I'll be an island boy. I'm just trying to make it, I'm an island boy.
I'ma keep it like an island boy.
I'm an island boy.
Another nation is making strides to join the burgeoning alliance aimed at challenging Western hegemony. And this nation is no ordinary player. It's none other than the African powerhouse, Nigeria. Africa's largest economy has unveiled its plans to formally become a member of the group. This development carries profound significance, considering the sheer size and economic might of the country. Nigeria has reaffirmed its commitment to joining the BRICS group. In February, Yusuf Tugger, Nigeria's Minister of Foreign Affairs, revealed to the media Nigeria's intention to submit its application for membership to the prestigious club. More recently, he reiterated that Nigeria remains steadfast in its pursuit of becoming a member of the BRICS group within the next 2 years, a goal he has been advocating since 2023. Additionally, Nigeria aims to strengthen its ties with Russia. During an interview with the Russian news outlet Sputnik Africa, Yusuf Tugger mentioned that Nigeria intends to submit its application for membership to the BRICS group of nations once all necessary internal procedures are finalized. We intend to do it. Like I said before, Nigeria runs a deliberative democratic system, so there tends to be a lot of engagement with different interest groups, different internal bodies before such an action is taken. Tugger stated, he highlighted the importance of the 2023 BRICS summit in South Africa, attended by the country's vice president, Kashim Shettima. Furthermore, he emphasized that Nigeria's decision to pursue BRICS membership would not be swayed by Western influence. You have to understand one thing. Nigeria is not the sort of country that succumbs to pressure. We have been single-minded since our inception. Since we became independent in 1960, we joined the non-aligned movement. We do what we feel is right for us as a country. We are not dictated to by anyone, Yusuf Tugger continued. Despite Russia's controversial actions in Ukraine, numerous African nations continue to gravitate towards forging stronger ties with the country. Given that both Nigeria and Russia wield significant economic clout, a collaboration between them holds immense potential for mutual benefit. The prospect of partnership extends beyond mere economic ventures, as evidenced by their joint endeavors in nuclear energy projects. Through direct actions and targeted training initiatives, both sides are actively advancing this cooperation. The minister further revealed that the Nigerian Atomic Energy Commission and Rosatom, Russia's leading nuclear energy corporation, are working in tandem to accelerate these efforts. Moreover, Nigeria seeks to broaden its engagement with Russia beyond the realm of energy, exploring opportunities in medicine, agriculture, and the industrial applications of nuclear technology. The BRICS Alliance, comprising Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa is boldly challenging the traditional order of the global economy. Their collective aim is to assert dominance in the international market and reshape the economic landscape. Initially formed by like-minded nations sharing common economic principles, the alliance has now expanded its horizons by welcoming new members, intensifying its mission to redefine the existing paradigm. Shortly after its annual summit in August, the group added new members such as Saudi Arabia, Iran, Ethiopia, Egypt, Argentina, and the United Arab Emirates. At its essence, BRICS seeks to disrupt the long-standing economic hegemony wielded by the West, a paradigm shift poised to redefine global economic dynamics for the foreseeable future. Femi Falana, senior advocate of Nigeria and legal practitioner at Falana and Falana's Chambers, asserts the pressing need for Nigeria to join BRICS. In an interview with Sputnik Africa preceding the minister's remarks, Falana emphasized another crucial reason for Nigeria's urgent inclusion in the BRICS group of nations. He advocated that Nigeria should join the BRICS bloc to facilitate international trade through the use of national currencies instead of the US dollar. He emphasized that Nigeria cannot afford to remain on the sidelines or merely attend the summit as an observer. Joining BRICS, he suggested, would exert influence over several African nations, breaking down trade barriers. Encouraging countries to conduct trade using their respective currencies would bolster the African economy, and notably, the African Continental Free Trade Area. If I had my way, my own radical policy would be that I would sell Nigerian gas and crude oil in Naira. Let those who want to buy our products look for Naira. That is how to promote your currency. But this business of everybody looking for dollars even to pay school fees, rent houses, and sell houses, it doesn't happen unless you dollarize your economy. These are the issues the government would have to address to come out of this economic doldrums, he said. The term de-dollarization, the idea of a BRICS currency, and the utilization of individual countries' currencies have been steadily gaining traction. Many advocate abandoning the dollar to use local currencies for business transactions. Russian President Vladimir Putin emphasized the irreversible and rapidly accelerating nature of the de-dollarization process in a virtual address to the BRICS summit held in Johannesburg last year, where leaders from Brazil, India, China, and South Africa convened. Nigeria's aspiration to join BRICS symbolizes Africa's growing weariness of Western dominance, signaling a quest for fresh avenues to stimulate economic progress. If Nigeria were to join BRICS, it could unlock a realm of enhanced opportunities and collaborative partnerships that might currently be beyond their reach. Yet another nation is making...
See, y'all, we hear that Nigeria is drafting into BRICS. We see all these countries that y'all heard that is drafting into BRICS. You know, that's a good thing for the country. But this is the thing that I say to the continent, the people of Africa. Y'all got all the resources that the whole world gonna need and wanna use. So why am I gonna sacrifice using somebody else's money instead of my money, because I got the resources? Why am my mindset is I'm gonna make my dollar, I'm gonna make my dollar bill the strongest dollar in the world? They had to use my money instead of anybody else's money, because y'all got the resources. Y'all ain't got the hustle, y'all ain't got the mindset. That's why y'all need to come over here to America and come and get some of these hustlers out here. These hustlers know how to flip the game. These hustlers that know how to make the game work. Because y'all mindset is not like our mindset when it comes to hustling and making this thing work. Because y'all still following the leader instead of thinking about being the leader. Y'all thinking about following the leader instead of being the leader. And all this race, this resource that the Most High put in our land, all this nice resources that the world needs, and you still trying to follow. That's why I said Africa must become one nation. Africa should have one army, a lot of National Guards around their area, but one army. And the ones that dealing with America, and America got them by the balls, they gotta go. See, y'all ain't worried about cleansing y'all land. All y'all worried about is putting up positions. What's the point of putting up positions and you got other people coming in there, starting mess, blowing up mess, and all that, and then that caused a civil unrest? You must cleanse the land before you regrow. You can't regrow with wickedness because it's going to be civil unrest. You can't grow with Uncle Tom Negroes or handkerchief Negroes because it's not going to be no peace. And that's the mindset of all these leaders out here got to be on. In order for me to prosper and be a better leader to my people and my country, we must throw out the rot out of Africa. If you want to work for the Caucasian man and the Caucasian woman, and you're African and you're a leader, then pack your bag and go where they at. Your position is now filled with somebody else whose agenda is for Africa. And only Africa. See, when y'all develop that mindset, when y'all develop that spirit, and when y'all develop that togetherness, and then put on top of that, put the Most High on top of that, y'all unstoppable. But you know, you got these wicked people. They so wicked. And y'all talking about individuality instead of unifying as a nation. That's the difference. You got to unify it as a nation, then cut it down individuality. But y'all don't want to cut. Y'all want to ass backwards. And that's why y'all having these problems. And that's why y'all can't get over this hump. How is the richest country in the world gonna be following other countries? How? I know how. Lack of education, lack of leadership, and a lack of good formula.
The Israelites aren't black, and neither is Jesus. I hate.
Let me ask you something. Out of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, do you think black people come from Ham?
Well, obviously. Ham is the progenitor of Sudan, Ethiopia, and Libya, duh?
Right. So a dark-skinned people, black, right?
Yeah. What's your point?
You forgot to mention Mizraim, aka Egypt, was also a descendant from Ham.
So what?
So, you just said that Ham is the progenitor of dark-skinned people, meaning Egypt was originally black.
No, they're not! Shut up!
So now that we both agree ancient Egypt or Kemet is a black civilization...
No!
You know the story of Joseph and his 11 brothers, right?
Sure, so what?
So why wasn't Joseph, being an Israelite ruler in a land full of Egyptians, instantly recognized by his 11 brothers?
Because
he was black, like the rest of the Egyptians.
No, no!
Another example. Do you know the story of Moses?
Yes.
So you know that Pharaoh was killing all the Hebrew babies, but yet somehow, he couldn't recognize the Hebrew baby Moses that his own daughter presented in front of him?
Well, that's because of...
Because the Hebrew baby was black.
No!
Moses was black. Just
no.
Like Pharaoh's daughter.
No.
Just like Pharaoh.
That's a lie! They're not
Another
black!
Another example. In Acts 21:37-38, Paul is mistaken for an Egyptian, but yet, he is an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin, as confessed by himself in Philippians 3:5.
No,
so
no,
yet
no.
Again, How is a Hebrew Israelite getting mistaken for an Egyptian?
Is that way, right? Is it going to give me enough allowance on my job? These jobs that we work is basically an allowance. Is he going to give me enough leeway for me to be able to do a little something? I don't know. He might get rid of me. He might change. He might close the company down. I can't plan. I can't do anything. And we don't even realize that's a curse. We don't even realize that there's something wrong when you have to depend on a whole nother nation for your survival. That's how messed up we are. That's how far away from normality we are. It's actually normal for us to go to another nation, like the scriptures say, they that hate you shall rule over you. We actually take that as normal activity. When it should be your people at the company, your people giving you the jobs, your people setting you up with this. That's how it should be. And we're so destroyed, we don't even look for that.
This is getting wild. The National Guard is going to be here now for the solar eclipse. This article today was released in an Oklahoma newspaper saying that they will have guardsmen present in McCurtain County for the solar eclipse. But things get much weirder. The 22 members of an elite chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear unit will be housed in Broken Bow, in addition to 110 to 150 Oklahoma Highway Patrol troopers. They're also urging residents to stock up with 1 to 2 weeks of food in advance of the event and to have full fuel tanks. They're also saying that it's likely that communication facilities could be overloaded, possibly making it difficult to make cell phone calls. Similar warnings are going out in different states, including Noblesville Fire Department in Texas. And apparently schools are canceled this day, and people are going on Twitter writing statements like this: "Something strange is definitely happening. My kids in 3 different schools all got notices that school will be closed that day." What do you know about this solar eclipse? As always, let me know what you think.
See, fam, we got to realize things going on strong and the crafty counseling. And it kind of hit me when the brother was talking about when we had to depend on another nation to feed us. And that, when you go to Deuteronomy 28, it tells you, you'll be going to another nation for food, clothes, and shelter. And that's what we do as a nation. We depend on, we getting welfare from another nation to take care of us. And we ain't even able to take care of ourselves because that nation beat us up so bad that we couldn't do it. They had us growing dependent on them. Now that we got smarter and wiser and we can understand this, we can see. And the only thing that messing us up, y'all, again, I want y'all to realize this, y'all fam. Only thing that messing us up that y'all don't realize. Only thing that is messing us up that y'all don't really realize. They just take away our history, man. When we don't know ourselves and know who we are, then we wouldn't know the history. We walk around here blindfolded because we don't know our history. When you don't know this, young fellas, this is nugget for y'all young fellas out here. Y'all listen, don't be listening to these clowns talking about forget the past, forget your history and whatever. Everybody in this whole nation, they value their history but us. Because we was told we shouldn't even think about it. We should move on. So you got to know who you are, what you're about, to determine how you see the world and what you need to do. And America, with white supremacy, non-pigmentation man and a non-pigmentation woman, and some of these pigmentation nations, had they had a plot in putting us in the position that we are in now. We don't really know who it is. The Most High pointed out in the book who it is, and some more. That's why he said he's going to bring them down. He's going to bring all nations down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. So we got to realize this. The thing is to know our heritage. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, that we were going to lose our heritage if we didn't do the commandments that the Most High required us to do. These are the things that are going to happen to us, these curses. And y'all look at these. See, we don't want to look at these curses and see, do these curses affect us? See, once you know and see that these curses affect us, and all that a coincidence now. All these curses that this says in this book right here is a coincidence for us. It's a coincidence. It's eight coincidence in here. And so you want to scratch your head about the possibility? But you know, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, because you don't want to believe the truth that you might be saved. Saved from what? What are you being saved from? What is it? Luke 1:70, saved from your enemies. And who is our enemy? Let's go to Deuteronomy 28:68. You'll be sold to your enemies for slave man and slave woman, bond man and bond woman. So that's what the Bible's saying. And look at these scriptures and look at them, man. It's messed up. You know, it's a messed up way that we got to look at the non-pigmentation people. You know, I know it's messed up and it's kind of harsh and it's kind of, you know, uncomfortable. But it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? This is the picture that they painted, and this is the picture of how we see them. And why should we be ashamed or scared to point out the picture? Because I got some Caucasian friends, or I married to a Caucasian. I don't believe that. Or all of them ain't like that. All of them ain't like that, but what we talking about, the whole nation. The nation is like that. And what matters? The nation. Their nation is like that. As long as it ain't affecting them, as long as they can continue having their white supremacy and all that, it ain't bothering them. We see through all the network how vindictive that nation is. We see it. We see it in reality. But when somebody speaks about it and the Bible speaks about it, then y'all want to get all upset. You know, black people selling black people. See, that's the ideology I don't understand. She said, black people selling black people, but white people taking black people to another nation and then go up there and kill them, destroy them, molest them, and brutal, and do all this heinous things to these people. But you still blaming on the people that stole the people and sold them to the white man, the Caucasian man. See, you got to understand the IQ of that nation. They got a very low IQ. Because everything they learned from somebody else and then capitalized on it and then start putting their spin on it. Their IQ is not that high. They portray like it is because they want to keep on putting you in an illusion. But it ain't. And again, like the brother said, it hit me so hard in my stomach. Us men, us black men, us Latino men, us Native Indian man. How you feel that we got a code to another nation that dog us out, that did all the dirt to us, to ask them for a job to feed myself and my family? And you know they don't like you. And you know you're a second class citizen. And you know all these other things gonna come with it. All this wickedness and madness gonna come with it. But you had to dumb yourself down. You had to humble yourself up. And you had to push logic and morale and morals and value out the door just to beg another man to eat. You know, and that's just one of our curses, man. You know, we got to go to this school and get a degree in order to work in this non-pigmentation man's world. This is the non-pigmentation man world. You see, everything that he put up in here, this is his world. If you look at it, that's why God said, come out of it. Don't be a part of it. Because this is his world. This is his ideology. This is how he flow. These are the big positions that he making. And at the end of the day, he is the prime example showing everybody else in this world not to be like. When all this is said and done, and when his consequence come from the Most High, every nation will look at this 40, 60, 70 years later and be like, no, we can't be like them. We can't allow to rule like that. But we do. But that's why I say about our IQ. Our IQ might be higher, and you might have a high IQ in this area, but lacking a high IQ in other areas, especially if your IQ of the street is not strong. Because a person who's on the street IQ is really high. A homeless person IQ on the street is real high. So a common man that the bomb hit and nobody ain't got nothing or whatever, who you think gonna survive and who you think IQ is gonna be? Not the person who always come home to a bed and the keys and the lock and the TV and the stove and food in the refrigerator all the time. But we want to like not channel reality in our mind. We don't want to do that. We want to be able to put this in our foresight, in our forefront, and run with it. You know, we already know we can start business, and then the ones that start making noise or whatever, they go and steal money. So we don't have no humble people out there trying to do the right thing. We do. I'm going to say we do, but they're not recognized because they're just common people. Now, when you're dealing with people that really cares, then they're going to do the right thing. When you dealing with people who looking for money and clout, then they shaky. They easy to be compromised. They easy to be manipulated. But those are the people that we seek, that put them in position to do what is better for us. We need to start as a common man and common woman to start looking at it and say, what is better for us? Because we already know the government is not worried about us, y'all. They talking about giving $7,000 to people to move to Columbus, Georgia, where I used to stay. $7,000, 7,000 and some hundreds to come down there in Georgia to stay. What is the crafty council in that, man? What is the crafty council in that? Okay, if you want to stay, you moving, you plan on moving, you can move to Georgia and you'll get $7,000. Who what? They putting them immigrants out there? Is that the flag to put the immigrants out there so that they could be able to do whatever they got to do? Or are they setting people up in place that when this war start off, they gonna start hitting people from different angles? So what is this about, this solar, and they doing all this extra stuff? Is your mindset, see, that's why I say, man, we don't even know our head moving like a tennis. Like we watching a tennis show. Back and forth. And ain't even thinking about the move. We just thinking about who gonna win that challenge instead of the main view. We so got hypnotized on the back and forth, that which we should be able to shake off and look at what is reality. What is the business? What is the hidden agenda? What is the slick shit? What come with the slick shit? All it that we should be able to manifest and see. But we see things that not supposed. We see things that folly, messed up, and we think is right. Or we think that is okay. But the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. James 4:4 says, either you love the Most High and hate the world, or you love the world and hate the Most High. Because the Most High said, the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. He didn't say the world was given to the hands of the wicked. He said the earth. So this whole earth, the wicked is running and doing, and we can see what the wicked is doing now. So that's why the Most High said, come out of her. Come out of her. Come out of who? This white supremacy, this KKK, this illusion, these sins, and let's join the Most High and get our nation, so we as a nation can stop depending on another nation to feed us, clothe us, house us, and continue treating us like S-H-I-T.
See, you can't know Messiah coming back. Your royal roar, your royal roar. Your salvation draw near. Look up, that's the update. Only the Father know when he coming. He got the update. So shall the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the update. The 12 tribes rise around the world. That's the update. California on fire. Greece.
on fire. Y'all, we at the end of time. Earthquakes every hour. Most high showing his power. Y'all, this place gon' get devoured. The sheep waiting on they self. He gon' get us together. Y'all, that day gon' be so special. They repenting up next. Stop that sinning, boy, catch him. His protection is a blessing. Turn the game. Battle where we found the Ark of the Covenant. We ain't playing. We know we at war. Ain't no explanation for the things that I saw. Them chariots is coming. Prophecy you can't ignore. Messiah coming back. You're one and roar. Your salvation draw near. Look up, that's the update. Only the Father know when he coming. He got the update. So shall the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the update. The 12 tribes rise around the world. That's the update. California on fire. Greece on fire. Y'all, we at the end of time. Earthquakes every hour. Most high showing his power. Y'all, this place gon' get devoured.
When it's home chilling the wine, I stay tuned to the Fade Podcast. It's the hottest message out there.
When I'm home chilling, I'm always tuned in to Fade. We have the hottest podcast out there.
Don't miss it. Very informative.
When I'm home chilling, I'm always tuned in to Fade. He has the hottest podcast out here.
When I'm home chilling the wine, I stay tuned to the Fade Podcast. It's the hottest message out there.
Hey y'all, when I'm at the spot just chilling, or when my car just driving around, I always listen to Fade. He keep it real. He said it was real. And that's one of the hottest podcasts around. I definitely suggest it. Check him out.